I mean, I think one thing which is, let's say, somewhat different with the OpenACS community, with other communities, is that this community cares about their big applications, and the strength of the framework is often the legacy, that there are applications running for a long time and needing obviously not much maintenance, but at a certain time it comes a situation where you have to upgrade. We have seen it also from Tracy's talk. I mean, the applications tend to become larger and larger, and there's a lot of own code developed, and the code which is shared with the OpenACS repository tend to become smaller because people write their own packages. But afterwards, you have to upgrade everything. You can upgrade the core, fine, it's some help, but also we heard it from Antonio's presentations, a lot of the work is not done by simply upgrading the thing which you get from upstream, which is on a good state, but also on things which are developed by your own and where you have to follow your own, to follow maybe the coding principles from OpenACS or not, or you ignored some of them. And this is something like a, let's say, some kind of a larger area of discussions. I mean, therefore, maybe the first question is also to the members here, what should, let's say, OpenACS do in the future to ease the life of system maintenance? I mean, you have given me a presentation? Yeah.
So, in my experience, I wouldn't know. The system maintenance, it's always a matter to me having the will to do it. And when there was the intention and the investment to bring a certain application up to speed or updated, it was definitely doable with the regular tools of the trade. I mean, a good Git setup, a certain care with updating the DBMS, taking care of your code. I wouldn't know what OpenACS as a platform could do better. There will certainly be at some point the big topic of CVS. CVS as a version control system is outdated. We still use it in a certain capacity, but that's not the main point. The point is we have some relatively deep integration into the code base, which we should at some point get rid of and replace with something different, which could either be the next tool, it could be Git, or it could be a different approach. I think at some point we will need to discuss this and come to a workable solution.
With maintenance, I think one of the things that has happened, and I don't know if everyone else has done that, but one recommendation will be do not touch the core packages, or if you do that, then share it. Because then, if you find something, you will be able to save time for someone else. So the same thing will be with maintenance. If you have some process already designed that you can share, right? We're running the upgrades right now, and I think everyone has their own thoughts about that. We have been doing version by version, because we have been finding that the way we do things happens to go a little bit against what it was recommended, and we are just recently discovering that could have been better before. But there are people that say, yeah, that wasn't a problem for us, and it's because you are doing differently. So one thing that can be also done, it will have a testing suite, that you can just have on, well, you can have like this Docker container already pre-selected. Like, okay, this is the thing that we wanted to test. Here's already just download it, run it, and make sure that your thing is going to be able to work. And so that way we can speed up the maintenance time between the thing that is upstream, the thing that you want to take to that level. So yeah, with that, and then the next thing, I didn't know. I thought I saw CVS, but it was some legacy, I thought. I didn't know that it was still being in use. And yeah, I think these couple of days we have been discussing that the community is a little bit conservative, but sometimes we have to get out of that comfort zone just a little bit enough to see what's on the other side. And yeah, maybe not some tool that just got out last week, but at least we know that Git is something has been tested. There are more and more tools that we can use. There are software that we can use if you are like a GUI person or if you are a terminal shell person. Yeah, you can do that. You can. It's already supported on Mac, supported on Linux, any distribution that you want. You can even, I think, compile your own Git if you like it. So yeah, I think that will be another thing. Is it will be better if we have it like already on Git branches, tags ready, and also moving with a more Dockerized process.
I completely agree to the Dockerized process. If I say, like, don't do what Project Open has done, that isn't really helpful. But the whole idea for me is if we as a community make sure that OpenACS is stable and is showable in its current state very, very quickly so others can adopt it. So what I mean by that is building on the Docker system as an example. So our build pipeline is building Navi server, always the latest release, then builds multiple versions of OpenACS, 5.9, 5.10, and head, all in Docker containers. Then we're plugging in Project Open, as good as it goes, into 5.9, that's perfect, into 5.10, that's up for discussion. And don't get me started about head. And then we're integrating our own code into the Docker image. Why is that something like that important? Because you are now able to have testing boundaries. So we can completely, like we are assuming, we can completely rely on the OpenACS Docker containers and Docker images to be well tested. I have complete trust into the OpenACS community that whatever I'm getting from there is well tested. Even though the test coverage might not be 100%, I don't care because I trust that it runs as intended. And I think that is one of the strengths. And then from a community perspective, just give examples like, take this Docker container, what can you do with it? Like, what are additional packages you can just install and utilize to solve which problems? So not so much from describing, like, this is what we do, but more like, this is the problems that OpenACS helps you solve. We have an excellent example with the .learn platform where we can clearly state, like, okay, this is one problem where OpenACS as a platform can help you. And maybe putting it out from that perspective might gain more attraction in the global development community and might make people more interested in utilizing this platform. Additionally, when I was talking to John about, about your approaches for how to work with the tablet, why not learn from that experience as well and say, like, okay, what can we, for instance, do to bring Tickle more to the mobile development? And how can OpenACS as a backend framework support that? And last but not least, we're heavily using OpenACS as the backend for a single page application. It's great for that because there is so much stuff which is in there, and even if you don't touch any ADP page, if you correctly work with the REST endpoints which you can provide, it's just beautiful because it takes so much effort away from you and allows anybody who knows a little bit about frontends and is able to use OpenAPI to just create amazing things. So that would be some stuff I would recommend we could do.
Thanks a lot. Maybe I just also paraphrase for the TICL community some of the things between the lines here. I mean, OpenACS has a goal since quite a long time to move from CVS to GitHub. And actually since, I don't know, at least 5 years, there's a mirror, which is everything which is available in OpenACS. CVS is also mirrored to GitHub. And I mean, the main show blocker is, as Antonio said, is this integration. I mean, OpenACS is a package management thing. You can upgrade your running version by, say, upgrade from repository, and it takes from them just a file with metadata and upgrades it. It just does the right upgrade steps necessary to bring it up to state. And this creation depends pretty much on certain properties of tags which are in the world of CVS on the file base and in the world of Git for a package. You tag something with everything in this package. Therefore, it needs some kind of a reinvention how to deal with this kind of, in which cases we can get rid, what kind of features are we exactly losing if we go from the per file tags to the per package tags. We have there, I think, quite a good package structure from OpenACS there in the on GitHub, which was at the first place, let's say, experimentary. But at the end, we have there 300 Git packages, which is also in some applications more cumbersome to administrate than just having one checkout from one place of a CVS thing. It's easier to maintain for people who have already CVS running. Therefore, it's also a trade-off how to make this world more convenient, and just to make these steps and these alignments is some kind of unknown kind of work, and therefore it was pushed from release to release like a hot potato. Nobody really was keen on investing on this, but I think it's getting more and more important, and I think also getting changes from GitHub is very important. I mean, just having pull requests and integrate them easily, make it easier for the community to contribute back is very important. I mean, I think it's maybe more important than having whatever these various features of this packaging system which is out there. I mean, also one thing which I'm wondering from the wishes was that nobody said we won't have better documentation, because there are many things which are clear to every old OpenACS developer, but for a new starter, it's not so easy to get started, to know what's relevant, what's outdated, and whatever. Therefore, there's also certainly a very large thing there. And I mean, one thing also which I saw from various presentations and from your comments is OpenACS seen not only as a, let's say, web development framework, but rather as a back-end development framework. I mean, which doesn't mean that we do not care about the user interface, but this is something I think it's a unique selling point which OpenACS has, and there are many other front-end frameworks out there, and we also heard it in a very similar way from Patrick. I mean, it's very convenient for them to having a strong infrastructure running a third of all of the elevators in the Netherlands. I mean, but there are different companies providing front-ends to this. I mean, and they are providing apps for this, and also quite similar to your apps you're having there. It's certainly nice to integrate this with whatever is out there. And it's also exactly the same thing that you're doing. You're providing app interfaces to OpenACS, also not only, but as a big thing. And I mean, what's your opinion there? What should be done to improve the life of somebody who is building backend integrations? I mean, there are certainly always obvious points, but what are the most important aspects from your thing? I mean, starting with
a few things which I learned from using Project Open a lot is that Frank has been thinking quite in depth about how to extend OpenACS for various business applications. And what I would probably look into is efforts how we can backport some of that, because it's not strong on the user interface, but it's very strong in providing abilities and capabilities for then later on connecting front-end applications into a very stable back-end. So this would be one of the areas where I would be looking into. The second thing with regards to having new developers learn OpenACS, I would probably focus more on how OpenACS is thinking. Not so much in terms of like, okay, what are ADP pages, what article pages, and so on, but more like, what is our business database model? Why have we structured the system the way it is structured at the moment? Why is it so easy if you are really keen on writing stuff in Go just to use Go and connect to the data model and the ACS objects model and then have a lot of stuff auto code generation out of the database? Because that is also one of the things where OpenACS can shine. The data model it currently has is excellent for code generation. You can do code generation in different languages just from looking into the database model, and you can actually do that in Tickle. Tickle is amazing for code generation in other languages. I really enjoyed doing that. So these are kind of like aspects which you could emphasize. So to kind of overcome maybe a reluctance by developers to say like, oh, this is written in Tickle. I don't know Tickle, so I'm not gonna touch it. No, we are using Tickle because we are really fast in developing this. If you think Tickle has a large learning curve, here are some other options how you can still use the same logics and technologies and learn from the 20 years of experience we've been putting into this framework. And into this platform and just take it from there and make it easier and accessible for new users and new developers to take on.
Well, that's an interesting point. But I think I don't disagree, but I think I will view it differently, right? The different perspective. In my case, I will think more like for the strengths that OpenACS has. I think the one that struck me the most is the permissions, right? The system of permissions that OpenACS has, I haven't found it like nowhere else, because you have all the structure, all that, that level of precision that you can have between how you can inherit that permission, and then you can give it to any party that you have in your system, and then the validation is not slow at all, right? You want to know it, then yeah, it will just be this process, and then that's it. And the way they get skip the SOAR key and whatever it does is very amazing. So what I will think, it will be more like play on the strengths that OpenACS has. So it will, okay, so OpenACS can be the backend, right, of whatever project you want. It can be running just the endpoints if you like, but also has the option to be the data structure for the project that you can have, and you can connect it with different languages. You can use any connector that you like, or also can be your whole application, and you can have the front end develop in these other context that is running on this type of level that, even though it's a little bit weird with the ADP and the logic that it has, but it's easy to use, easy to understand. I don't think that the learning curve for ADP is a problem, maybe TCL and all the API for OpenACS, because even, yeah, you are trying to find a function, it might not have the name, and that's why I was thinking with the TK function names, because it's the same on OpenACS, right? If you're trying to say, okay, you have the permissions, right? But actually the table is called privilege, right? So you'll be, okay, I will think it's privilege API. No, it's permission. But so it will be like improving on those conventions. It will be having different examples. If you want to run this application as a backend only, then okay, this is all the packages you need. You want a front-end application as well, okay, this is all the other packages you need. So you will have your different instances of whatever you want. If you want the whole package or the, as a project, it will be okay. You want to run the whole thing in OpenACS, fine. What happens with .learn, right? Because for .learn, you need the OpenACS wall for it to run. Otherwise, it will not work. So I think it will be that. And for the more sharing to the packages, one thing that I've been thinking, and since you proposed it this morning, is when we're working on the new packages, is we are thinking of our solution, not on how we are going to share it most of the time. And there will be this layer of reconstruction and maybe refactoring of the whole thing. So it will take a lot of time just to make it shareable enough, and then we can give it to the community, and then the community will expand on it. So it's fine, but it will take some time just to clear all of the things that we, I will not call it bugs, but maybe insects, right? So it will be, because the code, it will be to run in some scenarios that maybe when we expand it to someone else, it will not be the same. And also to define if we move to a different repository model, it will be also to reconstruct the rules for sharing. Because if we go to Git, there you have pull requests, and then you can have a sort of permissions for it to check as well. So you can assign reviewers, then the pull request can be approved or not, and it can return no issues, right? You don't have to go with the whole going back and forth with that. So I think that will be on my point.
Yeah, hearing some of the points, I definitely second the point on documentation. We should clean up the old stuff, and we should write new stuff. I've also, as you say, when it comes to sharing something with the community, we did share some of our downstream code lately. Of course, there was a little bit of back and forth between the original implementer and myself, who eventually committed it because, okay, there should be automated tests, there should be some documentation, it should be using the best practices, because the moment you upload it, then you also commit to maintain it. It means that somebody will try and install it and will say, it doesn't install, what happens to my instance? And you need to be able to provide answers. I do agree that OpenACS is great for backends. It's really the page contract in particular. The database API is very, really fluid. So you write a query and you get a TCL structure, and you can transform it in JSON, in XML, various kinds of XML. I used it to produce Word documents, for instance. It's also possible. It's really great the things you can do. the let's say the opposite of the selling point of OpenACS is that it is somewhat framed as something you can just install and run, but in fact it's not. So you install it and there is very little in the way of out-of-the-box functionalities. There are a few packages, there's a calendar, there's a file storage, they all work, they all do their own thing, but it's nothing exciting. If this was to be the reason why I install it, I would install Nextcloud somewhere. It's really much simpler, much feature-rich. And OpenACS is really a development platform, I think we should probably make it more explicit that you need to understand, you will need to code. You will get much far away, but you will need to put in some effort. The permission system, I agree, is something that I haven't found so mature in any commercial product. Not that I know all of them, but the one I've seen, so I think yes, it's a matter of expectations also. People need to realize that OpenACS is a tool for developers.
If I simply summarize, I mean, there are many things which seems to make fun or make pleases a developer, as Malte pointed out, and certainly it makes sense to make it also clear. Maybe it's a good thing to say what's nice to do there and not to say it's something like the opposite what you said, that not to think that we have a system which does everything perfectly, like a file storage, I mean, the other ones out there, but to do things, let's say, what you can do with this easily. This is certainly quite interesting. And also expanding a little bit on this, let's say, permission world, but also a discussion with Michael Aram, who was also working a long time on knowledge markets on very large systems. I mean, one of the also strength of OpenACS is security. Security in terms of, there's one thing is the whatever this page contract, but also you have many checkers on this. And all of the commits going to repository are going through a thorough check of using the leading web intrusion systems. And I think it also makes sense, Michael pointed out, to say, what do you get by OpenACS? What are the security aspects you're getting here? And also containing things which are not completely out of the box, something like CSP. I mean, CSP is very powerful and many frameworks are much worse than what we can do there currently. And therefore, another thing is make it clear what is the quality. I mean, there's this bill of materials of components out there. We're using JavaScript components. Are they outdated or are they up to date? And everybody should be able to check, is the new version from OpenACS you get there, is it safe, regarded safe according to third parties, not your own, not a person saying our thing is safe, but just get the thing, but also to have the thing integrated in everybody's application to say, I want to know where's the place where I'm now in danger, where is the thing where I'm not safe, and documenting also the guidelines, what does it make to just having a page contract says nothing, but you should do more than this, and you should put in your think about CSP and think about exactly the, like, for example, what are the checkers available, what are the guidelines to all of the thing about SQL injection protection, what we are doing. I mean, having the one page which says something like the coding guidelines, the security guidelines, is on one hand side documents that OpenACS is built according to this guideline, document this, but also provide a guideline for other people, what they should do in their own application to make it on the same quality criteria. I think it's a very important aspect from Michael there. Yeah. I mean, what is the future at the end? I mean, nobody knows what the future is, of course. But from my point of view, I mean, looking realistically, I mean, there are new OpenSSL sites coming out. There's no question about this. And there are companies out there which are producing code. And some of the companies have been very successful in the past. Project Open, I think they have a couple of thousand servers out there of an ERP system. But I mean, it's a small team, and this small team also is getting older and thinking about pension and thinking about things changes if you are being there a long time in the business. And if you're young, everything is possible. If you're getting older, it's not so easy afterwards. So therefore, you need a critical mass of these companies, and there are a couple of companies out there also in the US or in Guatemala, and but also in I know at least two large companies in Austria which are providing here support. I mean, I think it's also very important to get these companies onboarding. And this is sometimes even the harder part than getting new people from the community, because they have their business needs, they have their business case, they have promised something to deliver for this cost in this time. And in some way, the core community is driven by the aim to do things right. And the companies are often driven by the situation getting things out fast or cheap or whatever. Therefore, it's a trade-off, and it's also the same thing that you mentioned, is the cost of contributing something back in the way. But probably we should also somewhat document some kind of a process where who says that you as a company have to do all of the work to make it, let's say, first-class object, I mean, in OpenSS or whatever, contributor. We have different kind of packages there. We have core packages, and we have the contributed packages. And certainly, we should also document what can be done there. I mean, if also who should be contacted if you have something which might go back there, and what is the process you can expect there.
What might probably help is if we also have some guidelines on how can you avoid touching the core packages. So, because I think one of the problems companies might be facing if they want to do something fast, sometimes the fastest way is to touch the core package, and then you are in upgrade hell. So if we were to provide more of a guideline on how can you avoid touching the core packages, and then also say, like, if you're following this guideline, then the likelihood that we can take back your code and later on integrate it into the core package, that is probably going to be helpful. I'm just thinking about, from my own experience, the REST documentation I put into ADPROC. I made sure to not touch ADPROC, but use techniques to avoid that whole scenario. It meant copying code and stuff like that, but there are techniques which would allow us to do that and would hopefully make it not as difficult to reintegrate once certain additional steps have been taken, like automated test cases, verified security, verify the coding standards are there. And that might also be a guiding, like once the guideline is given, it's also teaching, so to speak, everyone else, how best to communicate and contribute to the community back. And I think it's not a lack of willingness or even time. It's more the combination of I don't know how, and then I need to figure out the time. And it's not only the time of the contributor and the company, but also the time of the core team members, because they need to be involved in this whole process. So I think if we can provide some documentation or guidelines on how to do that, that might increase the return of functionality.
I mean, also when you address the core team members, when we have OpenSS has also an OpenSS core team, it's called OCT there. And there are also many members out there which are not really actively doing anything there. And it's also probably makes sense to whatever rethink the size of the thing and being there more dynamic in a way, because then you can also expect what kind of things you can get back afterwards. I think it is something like what Steve mentioned for the digital world is also something which probably applies to even higher level to the OpenSS world.
Yeah, so a lot of people, because OpenACS is, the, in my opinion, a development platform, so they take the core, they use the services the core provides, they develop their own packages, and then, of course, they will eventually implement best practices such as continuous integration, automated testing, and so on, locally to their own setup. So one step to improve would be share, document, make it so that this is OpenACS becomes also the way you are supposed to test it, you are supposed to spin up, as you said before.
Just also one short sentence to this. I mean, you have more or less also copied the scheme we have learned to the upgrade of the Milano system. I mean, if you're doing upgrades right, it's not much work. If you do it wrong, you're lost. I mean, it's too much work afterwards. But documenting how to set it up right based on the good GitHub stuff and writing something like a sample, whatever setup in terms of whatever development and production lines and make it clear how it can be extended. I mean, just not only selling, let's say, we are in Git, but also selling here some kind of best practices as a potential solution will help many installation, because I mean many people work with Git, but not on the level what it means afterwards for larger installations. It's different. If you have a larger team and upstream changes and local changes happening, therefore you have to just making a summary of the most important ways in a way and make it clear what does it yield, also something like in Malte's word, what is the benefit if I follow these guidelines is that upgrades are getting much simpler. I mean, let's just say from the Learn team, we had very many years a big problem that nobody was daring to do an upgrade. I mean, it was doing an upgrade, if you have a lot of files and local changes there and white space changes and whatever, and you do more or less upgrade line by line, I just need this line and that line, after some time it is very hard to do your upgrade by yourself. And this upgrades were taking, let's say, months and not days. And now with the right setup, everything is updated daily without on, and you it's also a long list of changes happening in OpenSS. I mean, it is just it's no work anymore. I mean, it's just happening and it's just more or less automized. Sometimes you have a conflict, but you have to look where this conflict is coming from, but in 99.9 cases, it is just go through. I mean.
Yeah, Git makes it definitely easier. The moment you have to touch the core, even if you have to touch upstream code, you can at least keep track of what has been touched. Another thing that was a step in the right direction, many of the local customizations that I've seen in other projects were in concerning cosmetic graphical changes, and the theming has helped a lot in this direction. It means you can put all this stuff in your own theme package, and this way you can keep it separate, but Git helps a lot. In a way, I wonder, because we do integrate every day, we do test every day, so we feel more confident that we can change stuff. And I wonder if people who don't merge so often, we go too fast for them to sometimes. But it's just.
Yeah, don't mention changes, right? And then that will be fine. No, I think. You were talking about the future of OpenACS, and I think we just have to go back a little bit on the root of open. I will try to focus on being more open among the community members, right? Where we try to share more, right? What we have discovered or own solutions, because You were saying, we install the core packages, and then we create our own package, we work in our own thing, and then we move on, right? But probably that solution maybe will not fit everyone, and maybe not the 100% of that solution, but just a portion will be the line of code that will save me days of work, right? Like, it will make a coffee machine look better, it can make a bike CAD system look better, right? It can make a migration even faster. So what I will try to commit, because unfortunately that's not my call, but at least it's my time. And on my free time, I will try to clean the code that I've been working and try to share it as long as I have permission to share. Because I will try to go to that pain first and see what we can improve of sharing and created a more open and wide package system that we can continue working. And probably that will attract more people, because like you were saying, some people is going out, but we need more people going in so we can keep the cycle of continued development and new blood, maybe try to sell it better the first time that we set up the OpenACS, maybe more a friendly version for the setup, because there are some things that are not very understandable, like touching the kernel parameters, that you have to set up the domain, you have to set up these, set up specific places, right? You want to run the mail system, mail services, you have to know these things. But if we have like a startup page where you have all the settings that you can run, and then for that, it will be easier to introduce to new people. You just, like I said, just plugging in and it works. Sure, you will have to code if you want it your own way, but to start, it will be maybe no pain. And I think that will be the goal.
I mean, funny enough, if you're installing OpenACS via CVS from scratch, you have this single configuration page. If you get a GitHub image, whatever, you don't have it. I mean, but it's a very important point that it's simply was developed, and I mean, for me it was clear that it's there, but it's not clear to me that other people who do not want to go the whole way up there, they never see it. Therefore, you're getting blind by running the system. Okay, I think we got many input, and I think we have a recording out of this, therefore we can afterwards write it down and prioritize things and try to get things better. And many thanks for your input, and I hope you still also contribute in the future in a similar way.